We start with reading a passage of scripture from the Old Testament. The first book of Samuel, chapter 1, and verse 1. And there was a certain man, a Ramathaim Zophim, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah. He had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Penaniah. Penaniah had children, but Hannah had no children. And the man went up out of his city from year to year to worship and to sacrifice to Jehovah of hosts in Shiloh. And we'll skip to verse 9. And Hannah arose after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by the doorpost of the temple of Jehovah. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed to Jehovah, and wept much. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Jehovah of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thy handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then I will give him to Jehovah all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. It came to pass, as she continued praying before Jehovah, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard, and Eli thought she was one drunken. Move on to verse 19. And they arose up early in the morning, and worshipped before Jehovah, and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And it looked, Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and Jehovah remembered her. It came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bore a son, called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of Jehovah. And now can we just read a couple of passages from the New Testament. Book of the Hebrews and chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, that is God. For he that draws near to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them who seek him out. And then, just a verse from the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy chamber, and having shut thy door, pray to thy Father who is in secret, and thy Father who sees in secret will render it to thee. I've read this passage from the Old Testament about Hannah because I think it's a lovely illustration of a person that's seeking after God, and she wants something. She wants a child. And in the ways of God, she hadn't had one, but she wanted one. And so, when they're at Shiloh, at the temple, she goes in and she makes her petition to God. And I love the way it's presented here. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. The secret petition of Hannah to God. Now in the gospel, each one of us needs to come and have to do with a holy, righteous God. Hannah wasn't afraid to do that. She doesn't need to petition the priest. And sadly, the priest in those days was, his reputation wasn't good. Hannah speaks directly to God. Challenge to us, each one. Can we speak directly to God? Doesn't have to be a public matter. She spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved. Just where we are, sitting, listening to these glad tidings, we can open our heart to God. Move on into the New Testament. What we're told in the Epistle to the Hebrews, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that draws near to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them who seek him out. It's a lovely thought, seeking out God. Somewhere we're told in the scriptures that though he is not far from any one of us, and that's true, but God delights to be sought after, and he delights to be found by those that have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. We, all of us, need faith. We need to believe in something that we can't see. Earlier in this chapter, in Hebrews, it says, faith is the substantiation of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We live in a world which is governed by that which we can see, that which happens, happening around us, and often it takes our full attention. But God is still is there. God's appealing to us. And as we sung in our hymn, we speak of the grace of our God. So boundless, so rich and so free. But what will it profit thy soul unless it is relied on by thee? Each one of us needs to make these things our own. Another scripture I read in Matthew. When thou prayest, a prayer is an approach to God. Enter into thy chamber, shut thy door, pray to thy Father who is in secret, and thy Father who sees in secret will render it to thee. You know, God delights in persons that seek him and make requests of him. But God is a righteous and a holy God, and mankind, I speak generally, but you and I specifically are sinners before a holy God. Scripture tells us somewhere, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the great news in the glad tidings is that God knows all about that, and he's provided a remedy. If we went to the prophet Isaiah, God says, come now. Chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith Jehovah. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool, taken away. And God's got a basis for doing that. God has done something to deal with the matter of sin. And you know what? He sent his only begotten Son into the world to live here, to move here, to take upon himself the sin of the world. Jesus himself, holy, spotless one, took upon himself Indeed, it says in the later in the prophet Isaiah, Jehovah hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. The matter of sin dealt with. If we look in John's Gospel, it says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. For God has not sent his Son into the world that he may judge the world, but that the world may be saved through him. God knows all about sin. And his holy, righteous nature abhors it. But God has found a way of removing that sin. And he's done it by laying upon Jesus that sin. And that Jesus went into death at Calvary's cross to bear the iniquity of us all. My sins were laid upon him when alone at Calvary. That's the basis that God has established by which he can forgive sin. But as we sung in our hymn, yet thou art lost and undone unless in that name thou believe. It's necessary for us, each one, individually, to make that approach to God. And God is available. It's a simple matter. As we illustrated in that passage in Samuel, God delights to hear, delights persons to come to him with their requests. And it can be very, very simple. It was with Hannah. She wanted something, and she, in the secret of her own heart, said it in her heart. Only her lips moved, and God heard. Because what did it say there? God, Jehovah, remembered Hannah. God listened to the cry of that woman that wanted something. God's ear is ever open to the cry of the sinner. Lovely story that's told the church warden. He sees a shabby old man going into his church for a few minutes each day. And concerned, he creeps in to see what's going on in these short visits. Comes across the man and he's startled. He says, I can't do long prayers. I goes in, I kneels down, and I says, Jesus, it's Jim. I get up and go home. Sometime later, caretaker noticed as the old man had stopped coming. After a few inquiries, he's directed to the hospital, where a sister tells him Jim's there but dying. And as there was no known family, he could go in and make a short visit. When he arrives at the bedside, he's arrested by Jim's radiant face and the whispered words, I've just had a visitor. He comes and stands by the bed and says to me, Jim, it's Jesus. The simplicity with which we can approach to God through Jesus, and he hears us, and God will forgive us of our sins. Trust each one of us in the secret of our own hearts can approach in prayer to God and find his blessing. It be so, for his name's sake.
Amen.